Hey guys, David Duncan here. I just wanted to do a little heads up that there is a little part in the episode, about 4 or 5 minutes toward the end, where it sounds like we're passing through some sort of wormhole where our voices get distorted. We couldn't tell it was happening while it was recording, so we didn't know about it until the edit happened. So I apologize for that. I'm not sure what's going on, but just wanted to give you a heads up on that. It does clear up after a few minutes. Thanks. Enjoy the episode.
Synthaholics, it's the Rad Tribal Podcast.
Welcome to Synthaholics. This is your host, David Duncan, and with me is...
Aaron O'Brien.
Hey, hey!
Hey, we got a lot of salad to talk about today.
Tossing salads left and right, yep.
We had a long discussion before. Unfortunately, the outtake didn't turn out well, but we talked about German dressing salad dressing. If you do know what is a common German dressing salad dressing, wow.
Let us know.
And not potatoes au gratin, because that's just like that's just vinegar and potatoes and stuff like that. So it's not really.
No.
Maybe it's that's a German salad.
Mm.
Well,
or an Irish salad.
Yeah, I don't know. We got a bunch of news coming up for Star Trek. We got the Star Trek Discovery cast Spock, Ethan Peck.
Who?
I don't know who the hell he is. He's a young guy. He's got a square jaw. I guess he could kind of pass as Spock.
A little bit sad they're not using Zachary Quinto.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised too. I mean, what the hell has he been doing?
Star power. I mean, I don't know. I guess they're trying to separate themselves from the Kelvin universe. But I mean, like, it shouldn't matter. Like, the whole point of a rebooted universe is that they could tell new stories. Physically, they're supposed to be the same person, and Zachary Quinto looks very much like Leonard Nimoy did.
So Ethan Peck is actually the grandson of Gregory Peck, the famous Hollywood actor who, if you don't know, like
who?
To Kill a Mockingbird, stuff like that.
Okay.
I mean, very, very famous actor back in the 50s, 60s. Yeah. Anyways, so that's interesting. I guess we're not going to get Quinto as Spock, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little bit sad, but I mean, I don't know who this person is. Like, I don't think I've seen him in anything. Like, he's on TV shows that I've never ever watched before.
He's playing Heath Ledger's part in ABC's Family,
Ten Things
I Hate About You, and CW Seeds I Ship It. I've never seen any of these. So
I don't know any of his experience or acting chops or anything. He vaguely sort of looks like Nimoy, but I don't think he looks as much as
he actually looks more like Gregory Peck. I mean, Gregory Peck has his like look, demeanor and stuff like that look to him. So,
because Quinto has got the Nimoy look like on Fleek or whatever the kids are saying nowadays on Lock.
You got that ratchet.
I need to take my tires off.
Also, we got unfortunately there is the dispute with Star Trek IV that Chris Pine and Chris Hemsworth just cost way too goddamn much money. The rent is too damn high. So
it's too damn hot in here.
So
oh my gosh.
I posted an article just recently about somebody put, why do we need Chris Pine as Kirk? Or why do we even need Kirk?
I mean, that's the core of Star Trek for that era. So
unless you're doing Pike or Captain April before, I mean, this is Enterprise NCC 1701.
But the rest of the cast is set to return, so that therefore you need Kirk.
You need Kirk no matter what. Maybe you could recast Chris Hemsworth.
I guess. I don't.
You don't really need... I mean, it would be cool that it came back, but...
Do we need the story where Chris Hemsworth comes back as George Kirk? Do we need that?
Not really.
I just...
Not really. And I gotta admit, there's one thing I like a lot of what Chris Pine did for the Kirk character. I kind of hated his character. It was always a little bit bumbling. He's a little quirky. He's not like the Kirk of Shatner's Kirk.
No, not at all. He's definitely more...
There's more laughs involved, you know?
Yes.
And I get it, like, they're trying to keep it fresh and funny for younger audience and stuff like that.
He's not, like, the intellectual, like, genius that...
Could beat Spock in 3D chess.
Yeah. Like, he's too klutzy, almost,
yeah.
Even.
It's like, why are you still alive?
And, like, even the way he, like, flirts with women in, versus how Shatner did it, it's more juvenile.
Yeah, Shatner did it like more like a James Bond kind of character. Like, he's just like, you know, I'm good looking, you're good looking, we're not going to say it, but if you're attracted to me, I'm here.
And you know, and Pine's more like college, you know,
yeah,
playboy.
Yeah, like, I'm going to pull out my acoustic guitar and sing some of Dave Matthews to you.
Something like that, yeah.
Crash into me, baby.
Well, I don't know. Chris Pine, I mean, I'd hate for them to recast just because I'm used to seeing him as Kirk now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'd hate for them to recast, but like, I was never super sold on the Chris Hemsworth coming back as his dad.
Didn't understand why you need that.
I don't know why that would be like the crux of a movie plot. I mean, like, if he was in Rurik, the only idea I liked is, I think one we talked about on the show previously was like, maybe he got stuck on Rurapente. Like, that would be, and that's why he'd still be jacked like Thor.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, so like they rescue him from Rurapente. They find out like Kirk's that could have been, that could be interesting, and that would kind of like tie into Star Trek VI a little bit.
I guess this one was supposed to do with time travel too. So who knows? We don't really know.
I don't want a time travel story with George Kirk. I don't know. Like, I would just love for him to be on Rurapente, just like jacked because he used to be Thor.
Just take it out, aliens.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, he's just fucking Mardia.
I want to. I want to see Chris Hemsworth mining dilithium with two hammers.
Oh yeah,
that would be awesome. Just,
he's got to have a hammer at some point.
A little Mjolnir shout out,
a little joke. Yeah,
come on, that would be hilarious. But I mean, other than that, like, I'm not really sold on the Chris Hemsworth thing. Like, why don't we just do something new? Why do we need to go back to Kirk's dad? I don't know.
I guess they were going to go back in time for Star Trek II instead of Wrath of Khan. They were going to do the whole JFK assassination. Like, why do we need to go back and revisit this?
I don't know. Gene Roddenberry had some really bad ideas.
The day the music died.
He had some good ideas, too, but some of them were like, I don't know what you're thinking, man.
I know.
What's wrong with your face? I mean, brain.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Why even do that? There was another article that came out. This wasn't really newsworthy. I think it was through NBC criticizing Picard coming back and saying that basically because Voyager was such a diverse cast. Obviously, you have Michael Vermin, and you have all, you know, Michelle Yeoh and playing Captain
Giorgio.
Thank you. That going back to Picard is sort of like putting things back into like white privilege or something like that, and it's like. We're giving power to the white man. And it just was very frustrating because obviously this person who wrote this article has never watched Star Trek before and doesn't know that what Picard's persona is.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty obvious that would be the case. And, you know, people are just trying to write because it gets headlines, and Star Trek is trending because of, you know, the Las Vegas convention they just had, and the talking about them, CBS All Access having a Star Trek show running 24/7. And speaking of that, having not 24/7, but, you know, like just around the year and not having a big gap, they're talking about two potential names for shows. One of them, I think, was Star Trek Destiny.
Yeah.
And I don't remember what the other one was.
Reliant. Yeah.
Okay. The Destiny one was interesting because if there's any Star Trek books you've ever heard me talk about on the show, it's the Destiny trilogy.
And I love the Destiny trilogy so much. It's like a crossover series between the Borg. Well, it's got the Borg in it. It shows the beginning and ending of the Borg, but it crosses almost most Star Trek time eras. We've got characters from Enterprise. So we've got Erica Hernandez, the captain of the NX-02, mm-hmm. the Columbia. Mm-hmm. We've got her and her crew. We've got Ezri, and we've got some other people from Deep Space Nine, and we've got Picard, and we've got Riker on his own ship. So there's like all these stuff, all the static jumps back and forth between all cool. these different time periods, and it deals with the rise and fall of the Borg. It's very good. And Picard isn't super prominent in it. He's in it, but I mean, like, he's just one of the many characters in it. So I'm wondering if, like, Destiny, if they could be,
he's
like,
the one that they're going to shoot.
If they're going to, like,
for Picard.
Like, you know, like, maybe revamp it so it's more Picard heavy.
Destiny, destiny, and, no escaping, that's for me.
And then, like, turning that trilogy into, like, a whole series that could be interesting.
Right.
I mean, they could be doing anything, really, but it's interesting. Reliant, I mean, I guess it could be interesting, too, but Destiny's got me way more excited, because if it has anything to do with those novels are absolutely amazing. They're probably some of my favorite Star Trek novels. I haven't read many, but...
There's a ton of Star Trek
novels. Of the ones I've read, they're my favorite.
Right, right. Well, a lot happens last week, news-wise. I mean, for a non-con weekend.
Yeah, and we're recording earlier in the week this week, so there'll probably be even
something
more
else.
News.
Yeah, yeah.
By
yeah.
the time this comes out, yeah. that we'll have missed.
Brett Spiner will get his dick cucked off or something like that.
Cucked off?
Cut off, sorry. Did I say cucked?
He said cucked.
That's weird.
Yeah. I
don't know how that came out. Anyways, should we get to a main topic?
Pre-show talk, that's how it came
So we're talking about Star Trek Voyager. We're talking about the episode Heroes and Demons. This is season 1, episode 12, and it's first aired April 24th, 1995.
This is an extremely good episode for season 1.
This is really good because Kim doesn't show up at all.
He shows up for a one line.
Thanks, guys.
What happened? Also, Neelix is not in it. So,
happy.
It's like a double blessing episode.
Oh, I just love when Neelix is not around. So, again, Voyager is out, obviously heading home, when they find a nearby protostar. And Catherine Janeway says, we need to investigate this.
There's coffee in that protostar.
So she's getting Lieutenant Belana Torres to get to beam some of the protostar matter, and they're going to seem to try to synthesize this energy, maybe make them faster. That's kind of like...
They said it'll make ship systems at least 20% more efficient, whatever that means.
Don't understand how that would work. I mean, aren't conduits conduits?
It's like NOS for your car.
I guess.
He's like, we'll get a 20% speed boost or whatever.
So while she's working on this, they beam these two containers of this protostar energy or whatever it's coming off of it. And while they're doing it, one of their containment fields fails, and it kind of like, it doesn't look the same. Obviously, something went wrong. And B'Elanna beams it back, and then she reestablishes the field with the help of Janeway. And they set the... They beam some more of that protostar energy back on. While she's working on it, she says, it's going to take me about 6 hours to synthesize all this and analyze everything in these containers.
I wanted that in three.
Yeah, and she says, I want it done sooner. So she says, do you think Harry Kim will help you? And she says, well, can you get him to, you know, give up his off time? And she's like, well... She calls him, and he doesn't answer.
I'll give him a striptease that he'll do anything.
And Janeway goes, asks the computer, where the hell is Kim? And he's not aboard the ship. And
the best news we've heard all day.
And there was cheering throughout the decks.
And then the episode was over.
Yes. And they got home. So Janeway goes to the bridge, and Tuvok and Chakotay are, like, going through all the standard procedures to find somebody who's missing on the ship. Nobody's beamed off the ship.
No shuttlecrafts are missing. That's the first thing you should check.
I would be like, got all the shuttlecrafts here because, yeah, apparently you just open the door as like a doorknob.
A five-year-old can take a shuttlecraft.
It's like a swinging door. It's like a screen door. Doesn't even make noise when you open it. Nope. It's well-oiled.
Don't need security to no security codes to open the doors, because I mean, you know, leaving the hull open, you know, that's
keys in the ignition, running
full valet service for anyone who asks for it.
Just keeping them warm, keeping the cells warm. So Kim was last seen on the holodeck, and when they go check on the holodeck, they see there's a program running, but Kim is not there. And so they decide to he's running a holo novel, Beowulf, which is an ancient English 6th century like poem but story about a hero named Beowulf killing a creature named Grendel, and there's more to it than that too, like he becomes king at one point, kills a dragon, and all that other stuff.
Angelina Jolie was naked for most of the movie. It was
Grendel's mother is in there. She's kind of like this weird underwater lady. So
yeah, I liked that movie.
I've never seen it.
It was pretty good. Like my brother didn't like it because they Josh was emailing us like those really long letters. He didn't like it because they changed the story of Beowulf.
Oh, did they? Okay, I haven't seen it, so I don't know.
But the thing is, the whole point of Beowulf is that you're hyping up your actions. You're making them bigger than they seem, so that in the movie Beowulf is more flawed than what he is in the poem. The poem, he still just does all these awesome things, but that's the whole point. It's because when his poem is written by somebody else, they take out all the bad stuff and they just make him into this great person. So right. I like how the movie kind of made him a more flawed person than I think he was in the original thing. So I did like that movie.
Yeah, they take out like the Crohn's disease.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not mentioned.
And the part where he has sex with Grendel's mother, but you know. It's Angelina Jolie. I mean,
you're not going to say no.
You're not going to say no.
You're not going to say no, right?
She's got high heels built into her feet. That's Grendel's mother.
It's weird. This has got to be uncomfortable. So Tom Paris and Chakotay decide that they're going to go onto the holodeck and see. Oh no, I'm sorry. Chakotay and Tuvok. I'm sorry. Tom Paris just says that he can't. He doesn't want Kim to be dead, and that's it.
He can't be dead. We can put him back together.
We're going to put him back together again,
he
just like Humpty Dumpty.
He can rematerialize.
Yeah, so they go on the holodeck. They meet Freya, the daughter of the king Hogarth, and we're kinsmen of Beowulf, and she alludes that he's been killed, and then finally find out that he has been killed by the monster Grendel. And when they go to the hall, they get the mead hall of Hogarth, and they're all kind of distraught, obviously, over Grendel, because Grendel's been obviously killing the people of the clan or in the lands or whatever, taking people. And they say, well, you know, we'll avenge the death of Beowulf. And when they all leave, the creature comes, big light creature, and then they disappear.
Oopsies.
So
get them out of there. There's too much interference.
Too much interference
within our own ship.
Within our own ship.
There's so many little holes in this thing. I like this episode. This is a really, really fun episode. Really fun seeing the Beowulf theme throughout. It's just there's so much techno babble in Voyager. It's like, oh, there's so much interference. I'm like, that just seems silly. You're inside your own ship.
Well, I mean, as we find out the reason why later, it makes a little sense. I don't understand how the
proto
creatures could hack the system so well, but yeah, apparently they can.
I guess.
I guess they know how to program a holonovel.
to lock out any kind of scanners.
Right. So Tuvok and Chakotay go missing. And there was much rejoicing. And
man, this episode just gets better and better. Just leave them all behind. Don't save them. But just go forward. Let's introduce a new security chief and a new first officer and a new science officer. That would be great. Just keep going.
So the crew figures out that the photonic energy must have created the problem on the holodeck. And so that was exactly the time when Kim first went on the holodeck, started the adventure, when Taurus beamed aboard the photonic energy. So because of this, they're like, okay, there's something going on. So they're going to start figuring out what's going on with that photonic energy in the star.
And so they're going to decide to send the doctor in, because the doctor's already energy, so he can't be turned back in it, because he's energy to begin with. So they're theorizing that something's going wrong with the holodeck, so their people are getting turned in, physical matter is getting turned into energy, being stored somewhere.
And then we get this weird, so the doctor gets recruited for this, and then we get this weird discussion between Cass and the doctor, how the doctor's apprehensive as he's trying to read up on Beowulf. I have my reservations on, like, how would Cass even know that he's apprehensive? And I, you know, like,
especially being so early into the show.
Yeah, I mean, he's like, I don't know. It just seems weird to me. I didn't buy it. And it's like, he's still a hologram. He's still a program.
Do you not buy it because all those horrible stories that have come out about Jennifer Lean?
No,
it's like I can't buy anything she does anymore.
No, it's not that. I mean, I feel bad for her because of that, but it's more the idea that he's a computer program, so why would his demeanor change? You know, he's got his bedside manner no matter what, which is kind of bad. So I mean, what's
Mr. Zimmerman bedside manner?
Yeah,
the best kind.
What's the difference? And then so she's like, well, because this is your first away mission, you should pick a name. Have you picked him? He's like, I'm down to three names.
Lies.
Strange.
He never picks a name. The entire series.
I don't understand why this was even brought up.
And they brought it up, like, I think they drop it, like, finally after season four.
I think
around season four, they're still talking about it here and there. And then I think after that,
I forgot if they do.
I feel like it comes up again, like, later in the show, but, like, okay. And then they drop it by, like, the late second half.
So the Doctor almost goes through the same chain of events as Chakotay and Tuvok did. She meets Freya, and
falls in love with Freya.
Yeah, and meets the king and gets into kind of a tussle with one of the king's guards or something like that.
Yeah,
and the doctor says that his name is Schweitzer. He comes out with the name.
I feel like that name was like totally just played for yucks because like this is a really good episode and it's kind of serious in the way they play it, but at the same time they also like have this name which is ridiculous and they're chanting Schweitzer, Schweitzer.
I know, it's weird.
It's like it's hilarious. It's like funny.
Yeah, it is.
It's just so weird.
So at one point, she's going to just before he's going to fight the monster Grendel, Freya is kind of like, hey, you know, it's cold out there. You gotta be warm before battle. You know where I sleep.
You know where I sleep.
Gives him a kiss, and Doctor's like, interesting.
And then as soon as she exits the frame,
yeah,
Grendel shows up.
And this is the first time we actually see the Doctor kind of in panic because the Doctor gets his arm basically ripped off.
He gets transferred back to sick bay?
Without an arm. Odd. Very, very odd.
It's weird. It just like disintegrated his arm. Like I thought that was not going to be part of the problem. I thought he was going to be fine.
Yeah, why would it take part of... He's just a program. Why would it destroy his arm part of the program? I mean...
Drama.
I guess. I think that was part of the original Beowulf story that I thought Grendel lost an arm. But I could be wrong about that.
There might have been other things. I haven't seen like Beowulf in such a long time.
Like Beowulf fought Grendel naked, I think.
Yes.
He was like, I'm going to show you how much of a badass I am. I'm not going to go with armor or anything. I'm just going to fight this guy naked.
Yep.
So, but anyways.
Beowulf knew how to party.
He did. So when he comes back, obviously his arm is back on. And they're pretty much confused on why this all would happen. Like, why would it rip his arm off? And this is when they start figuring out that there might be alien life.
Like brainwave.
In the protostar.
Yeah, they're finding like brainwave.
They're like basically Tinkerbells.
Yeah, pretty much.
So they're flying around, and apparently one of the Tinkerbells got caught inside the holodeck when they beamed in the photonic energy. So, and it got loose onto the ship.
Well, I think the way that they described it is that when they beamed the two things of matter,
mm-hmm.
When they beamed the two things of matter, they took two of the beings in each container,
mm-hmm.
and then because of the photons in the holodeck, the other, like the mother of the things or whatever, was able to get into the system, and that's how they were able to abduct people via the holodeck.
Right.
So I don't think they got loose. It's just that the accident that happened when they messed up beaming the second sample opened up a hole for something to be able to come in and enjoy the holodeck.
Right, right. Well, so this is where they decide to go to the protostar, and they're going to try to beam one of these fairy things back onto the Voyager and put into a container. Well, he goes back into the holograph program. He runs into Freya again, and then that guard of the king shows up again and tries to attack the Doctor, thinking he's in league with Grendel. And
because he calls the thing a talisman, and it's like, oh, it's gonna make Grendel stronger.
Right, right. And then he when he goes to lunge with a knife, Freya gets in the way, and she bites the dust.
But they just were, like, just the previous day, they were lauding him for weapons not hurting him, and she's, like, going to take a sword for him?
Yeah.
That wasn't very smart Freya.
Yeah, well, you know, she's a woman of passion.
Yeah, she's in love. And then you know, she dies with his name on her lips, and he's like, I'll never forget you. And then at the end of the episode, the doctor's like, I'm going to pick a different name because that name's too painful. I'm like, so you're just going to not remember her?
Again, be a dick. Again, he's a program. He's not a person.
But still, he's like, I'm never going to forget you. I was like, I'm going to change the name so I can forget her. I'm just like,
I don't want to think about that anymore. And
just like Dr. Phlox, genocide.
Genocide. Just kill them all.
Just kill them all.
So he gets back to the Hall of the King, and he confronts the the guard that killed Freya. The guard blames the doctor, Schweitzer, for killing Freya, and the doctor all of a sudden gets real badass and scares the hell out of the guard, and he gets the talisman back, which is the mechanism holding the
Tinkerbell being.
And then when Grendel shows up, he calls Grendel to show up, and he's like, I got your person. We're going to let him go. You can go, too. Let our people go.
And then they all show up.
Yeah.
Much to my sadness.
And, yeah, they're all back. Tuvok, Chakotay, and Kim, all back. And the doctor goes back to his daily routine in the sick bay, seeming happy that he doesn't have to do that. And like you said, he doesn't want to stick with the name Schweitzer because it's just too painful.
Just too painful. And Janeway's like, I feel like there's going to be more adventures for you. And he's like, I feel like the same way. And I'm like,
this is stupid dialogue.
It's really bad dialogue.
Dave, what did you think of this episode?
Honestly, when you said this episode, I vaguely remembered it. And just thinking back on it, I was like, I don't remember if I liked this one or not. And then I saw it was season one. I'm like, season one is like
gross.
But that's the thing. The thing with Voyager is Voyager's consistently inconsistent. Like, it does have some gems in its first season.
Yeah, there's some good stuff in there.
And it's also got equally terrible episodes through all the seasons.
Yeah.
So right. Voyager's like the consistently inconsistent. It never really peaks like the other shows that
sure.
in my mind. So this episode was a lot of fun. Like, I love the Beowulf thing, and now that I've seen the movie Beowulf like more recently than, because I don't think I'd ever seen any interpretation of Beowulf like the first couple times I'd seen this episode. So like it was just like stuff happening to me, and now that I've seen Beowulf, you know, in several years and seen this episode once or twice since then, like I can put it together better in my head, like what's going on.
Right.
So it's more entertaining because of the references I do get to Beowulf. So it's a fun episode. It's well done. It's very Doctor heavy. Doctor heavy episodes are
something you love.
Are almost always better when it comes to Voyager because Robert Picardo.
No Neelix.
No, almost no.
No Kim.
No Kim. Chakotay
is gone within like
5 minutes.
5 minutes of the episode.
It's
right?
Great. So, I mean, like, this episode's firing on all cylinders for an episode that David would like. So, I really enjoyed this. What about you, Aaron?
So, I remember liking this when I saw it. Going back to it, not as crazy as I remember. I think I saw it maybe about, last time I saw it, probably about 4 or 5 years ago. I can't quite remember last time I rewatched it. But I just, there's something about it just seems clunky to me. Maybe it's the idea of the doctor. Now that we're doing the show, I'm very critical of a lot of like plot points and even character development. And I'm like when Kes has the conversation with him, like, you seem nervous. Like, why would he be nervous? He's a program. And I know he has more inflection than just an average program, but he would just keep the same demeanor no matter what. And it just seems odd to me. And then we have things where he's like, you know, like you said, the Schweitzer, he doesn't want to carry that name anymore. And I understand he's trying to develop like a persona that he is an intelligent, sentient program. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. It just a lot of things started rubbing me the wrong way now that I rewatched it, because I'm being really critical and I'm in the Synthaholics, you know. I got that mean gleam in my eye of like,
where can I tear it apart?
Why? And I don't actually approach shows like that. I don't normally go and watch shows and I'm like, how can I tear this show apart? Because I don't like that. I don't like that. But I just like, I didn't love it as much as I remember. I don't think it's a bad episode. And like Robert Picardo is always fun just to watch. He's just super entertaining. So him being in a Viking or a Dane's hall is hilarious. And it's like you said, he's eating elk and all that stuff. And he's talking about how he saved the crew. Tell us how tell us some of your exploits of what you've done.
Saying all these medical stuff, and they're like,
and they're like, that's an interesting story.
That's unique, I suppose.
Yeah. So obviously holodeck's gone wild. At normal episodes, like weird shit happens with holodeck. I just find it too convenient, you know.
But the thing is, with this holodeck gone wild episode, it's not even really the holodeck. It's the holodeck didn't go wild on its own.
No, it was an alien trapped in it.
It was an outside influence, which is interesting. It's a different take on the holodeck gone wild.
Sure.
It wasn't like. It wasn't just a computer malfunction.
But how would a Tinkerbell alien that would be completely alien, that's living in a protostar, why would it even know how to interact with
the holodeck?
And take on the persona of Grendel?
I definitely agree. There's issues with writing and like common sense and stuff like that. But then again, this is still first season, and first season stuff is always usually a little bit rough. And, like, characters seem very hollow in this episode, just in general. But I gotta say I like it for the fun of Robert Ricardo being, like...
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if it wasn't him...
Like, if... Yeah, it wouldn't...
This would not be a good episode. If it was Kim or Tuvok or anybody else, it just would not be interesting.
It would not have worked.
Even if it was Janeway, it would not be half as interesting, because you're taking the fish-out-of-water story of... You know, the doctor who only knows a sick bay, and you're putting him into, you know, 6th century England.
Well, I mean, I think part of the complaint you had about the doctor, like, being nervous, is because the doctor's like fundamentally had to change his programming. He's the emergency medical hologram. He wasn't meant to be on half as much as he already is.
Sure.
So he's like I don't know if this is actually happening or not, but I assume he's having some kind of like mental breakdown for like, he knows he's not supposed to be on this much. And he's like, he's pretty much always on.
Right.
Because he's the only doctor Voyager has.
Right.
No, he's programmed her after Mr. Zimmerman. And Zimmerman seems like a person who's got lots of anxiety as it is. Like, yes. It's got so much of Zimmerman in him.
Yes.
It's not really just a hologram. It's like a clone of Zimmerman.
Well, and, you know, we've talked about this previously in Holograms Gone Wild, like when we did Moriarty, and that's a sentient life, and you trapped it into this, like, looping program. And, like, what's the ethics of that? Now we have the Doctor emerging as sentient life, and maybe it's not... I don't remember when they start really... calling the Doctor sentient. Like, I don't remember what season that kicked in, but it's definitely not season one. He's just more shits and giggles for season one. And, you know, even season two, and I think he starts growing after that. Like, they start letting him
I feel like once he gets his mobile emitter, person, yeah.
But we're seeing, like, the beginning of sentient life, and that's my biggest complaint with the holodeck and even the ships. If the ships can create sentient life, like, what are we, like, it's like a baby machine for holograms and everything else. I mean, it's like,
why look for new life? We can just create all these new life forms.
Right, exactly. So I mean, I often thought, I threw this out, I think, to Guy Davis, maybe I talked to you about it, but after Next Generation, there should be like a whole story about the rise of the androids and other sentient life from AI and everything else from these things. Like, Moriarty should be back and saying, "You motherfuckers," you know what I mean? It's like, there should be.
He becomes a new Borg queen.
Yeah, maybe not Borg queen,
that would
but
be awesome.
But maybe he's the rise of the android army or something like that. You know, I don't know. I
would love to see him take over the Borg and then let just bring hell upon the Federation for trapping him. That'd be hilarious.
I find these things, they're always like throwaway at the end. Like, well, we don't know how to deal with it, so we put it in a box and let other people think about it.
Yeah.
It's like, what? You know, I don't know. It's just, so again, the Doctor becomes sentient, and even though that's not important. And obviously we see the Doctor actually at the very end a Voyager, that he is, like, you know, doing his own thing.
Yeah.
he's given his own sentience. I think he got married too, right?
He was married.
Yeah, so which is weird too. But anyways,
well, I mean, he had a baby on that episode where the planet that was spinning fast.
Yeah.
I don't know how that worked.
I don't either.
So I mean, he can just marry someone on Earth and get them pregnant too, I suppose. If he can do it with his alien race, why not? We're not a human.
Maybe he can synthesize sperm, or maybe just steal his sperm. I don't know. Take their nightly emissions.
It's like, maybe I'll just mix a little bit of this guy, mix a little bit of this guy, like make a sperm cocktail for my wife.
He's like a mix between like Shaq and Henry Cavill or Cavell from Superman.
And Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, Hugh Jackman. He's just like this perfect man.
Like, splice all these sperms together. I got nanoprobes. I can just nanoprobe them together.
Cut them all together.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Super baby.
So anyways, I guess I was a little more critical watching this episode. I didn't enjoy it as much because maybe I expected a little more from it. Because I do remember liking it. And I remember thinking it was a fun episode. And not that it isn't fun. But it's just, there's like little like weird things that happen. And again, like I said, like,
not as forgiving anymore with three years of Synthaholics under your belt.
Well, and Voyager really pisses me off more than anything because it's formulaic to a fault.
Yes.
You know, and it gets a little bit like, I get,
it's trying too hard to redo original series.
Yeah.
And failing miserably.
And a lot of the stuff has been either done already in Next Gen or Deep Space Nine, one form or another.
Mm-hmm.
So when the time they get to it, it's a little bit like,
meh, yeah.
You know?
That's the thing is, Voyager could have been a totally different show. It could have been so amazing if they would have like taken the 70 years to get home seriously. Make it a generation ship. Make it a more lax ship because it has to be, because you got to start raising families on it. Like make it, it could have felt so much different. It could have still been Star Trek, and they could have done a lot of different things with it and done something to set it apart.
Mm-hmm.
Other than, oh, look, we're far from home. I mean, like if you're going to be far from home, like, think practically. They didn't do any of these practical things that you would have to think about.
Yeah.
And like Janeway wrestles with it in like the beginning of like the opener of like season two, and then like it never comes up again.
Yeah.
When she's like depressed when they're in dark space and she doesn't want to talk to her crew. I'm like, wow. Good captaining, Janeway. She's like, become a recluse.
I don't
like
want to talk to you.
It was just, I don't know. It just Janeway just rubs me the wrong way. And they just didn't do anything. Like they were operating the entire time under the, you know, they were going to get home in under 7 years.
Yeah.
And they just, every single episode, it's like, oh, we're so far away from home. We're so far away from home. But they're not doing anything to, other than looking for shortcuts. And I'm like, deuce, if they would have done things, if they would have made it like more a more family-centric show, like getting more families and set up on the ship,
right,
and showing that kind of stuff, it could have been a lot more interesting and seeing how that works. And I don't know, like just making, if they set it up as a generation ship show and they skipped a whole bunch of years and mm-hmm. stuff in between, they could have been so interesting. But playing it like a regular Star Trek show and they're just going to make them a warp home on the last episode, it's just like, oh, okay.
Grandma Janeway.
Yeah.
She had kids with Tuvok. I don't know. So, I mean, Voyager has this problem. And there are some episodes of Voyager I do really, really love. And I remember liking this, and I guess going back to it, I just didn't like it as much. So
that's sad, finding less to like on Voyager.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I don't know. Anything else we can say about this episode? I had the book Beowulf. I didn't have it, actually. My dad, I think it was a college book, or maybe, I think it was a college book. It was like early, like English literature, and it started from Beowulf and went forward. And I always tried to read Beowulf when I was younger, and I just couldn't get through it.
It was hard to read.
Very hard to read. And I would try to read it over and over again. So I would pick up, I would even like skip ahead and like, okay, what happens? Because I just can't read through all this. So I would get like this overview. But I've never read Beowulf from front to cover. I just tried a lot of times over, you know, it was in the house since I was mm-hmm. a kid. So yeah. I was like, what's Beowulf? And it had the word wolf in it, so I had to know.
Oh, yeah, it's got to be cool, right?
Yeah. So, but yeah, anyways. That was my only really relationship to Beowulf.
Yeah.
And I never seen the movie, so.
Yeah, the movie's pretty, I enjoyed the movie. You should definitely check it out. It was fun. It was weird. It was like a live action, but it was all CG'd over.
I remember it came out, and I just never got around to seeing it.
Yeah, I mean, just reading through the Memory Alpha, nothing super interesting. Harry Kim, Garrett Wang, he was so excited about his Beowulf outfit, and he was so pissed that like they only showed his like shoulders and up because he said the outfit was so cool.
Yeah,
and it's like why did they even do all the trouble of dressing up and chain it?
I wonder if there was other scenes that he just never got.
Well, sure. Maybe they did shoot other stuff like the beginning, and they just had to cut it. Maybe
eaten by the
maybe
Grendel character or the whatever.
That could have been interesting. Yeah, we just don't know. And I mean, that was the most interesting thing. He just loved the costume. He said the costume was awesome, and then he was
any reason for the name Schweitzer?
Yeah, it was a doctor. I think a Nobel Prize winning doctor. I think.
Okay.
Right. I don't remember the first name, but yeah,
Albert Schweitzer.
Yeah.
I don't know why I know that.
Nobel Prize winner.
I'm going to have to do a Google search. Okay. I know the name Albert Schweitzer. I just don't remember it right offhand.
Probably did something good. I just don't remember.
Albert Schweitzer.
Right now, right here.
Albert Schweitzer is a French-German physician, theologian, musician, and philosopher. He's a Lutheran. Schweitzer. I'm not seeing any reason. I'm looking at his Wikipedia page, and it's very, very robust.
But he was a famous famous doctor, musician, philosopher, theologian.
Nobel Peace Prize winner, and we're not sure why he won the Nobel Peace Prize. Neither the Memory Alpha nor his Wikipedia page apparently says.
I know the name Albert Schweitzer. I just don't know exactly what he did.
Yeah.
So if you know what Albert Schweitzer did, let us know.
Let us know. You can always email us.
Essentaholics@yahoo.com
or let us know in the Facebook group. But I mean, this episode, there's not a whole lot of philosophy behind it. It's just kind of like
just a fun romp.
It's like, here, let's do Beowulf and Star Trek.
And Beowulf, there's not really any philosophy other than just a guy goes out, kicks a bunch of monsters' ass, becomes king, and sooner or later dies.
Yeah.
I mean, kills a dragon at the end. That's about it.
So, I mean, like, a little bit, there were, Chakotay and Tuvok were talking about the philosophy of just kind of like,
why we need monsters to personify our demons, yeah.
Yeah, and that was a little bit interesting, and then Tuvok was like, well, we don't have this kind of stuff in our literature, and like, Chakotay's like, hence the popularity. Like, ooh, sick burn. You burned the Vulcans for their boring literature.
And Chakotay still didn't care.
No, Tuvok doesn't care.
I mean, yeah, Tuvok doesn't care, right, exactly.
I didn't even notice that ever before, and I was listening to it. I was like, oh, he did a sick burn.
Doesn't really make any sense, because before
the emotion, they should have had some philosophy.
The emotional purge, they must have had all sorts of things that were had to do with monsters.
They must have done lots of book burning, too, after they purged their emotions.
So get rid of it. We don't want to think back to that old days. So.
Yeah, at least the Klingons are honest. We killed our gods. Yeah.
Fake news. Fake mythology.
It's all fake. We don't want this stuff anymore. Space Force. Space Force for the win.
Space Force. Small hands.
Can't have small hands to the buttons. We want to press the wrong buttons.
That's right, we don't. We definitely don't.
Gotta get the right buttons in the right order so you get the Space Force.
Get the spray tan.
Spray tan. Raccoon.
Raccoon eyes. Yeah,
Can tan.
Yeah, I don't really. This episode is just obviously just a fun, and it's obviously to show the Doctor off. You know, Picardo's acting and get kind of know his character a little bit. So,
yeah, it was very much a
exposition.
Yeah, it's fun for the Beowulf-y parts. If you like Beowulf, if you don't like Beowulf, and if you don't like the Doctor, there's not much to kind of win you over for this episode, honestly, if you're looking for a recommendation on that. If you love the Doctor and don't like Harry Chakotay, I mean,
or Neelix,
yeah, you've got a pretty good episode with not a lot of stuff. But yeah, I do agree with you. The dialogue's clunky. It does feel weird at points.
Yeah.
It's like everything's just shoehorning in just to get back to more Beowulf stuff.
More Beowulf! I just expect more, I guess, now. I mean, after you've had, Deep Space Nine and Next Gen, I expect better writing. That's all. Just better, it's more thoughtful. And I know not every.
Sorry to disappoint you with Voyager, though.
Yeah, I know.
That's just how Voyager goes.
I know.
Whatever. So I'm not the only one who hates Voyager on something, Alex.
So yeah, I don't hate all Voyager.
But it's just usually in the past you've been like more like devil's advocate for Voyager.
I was. This is an episode I really liked, and when I watched it again, I just was like, this got a lot of little crappy little holes.
Yeah. Yeah, it is sort of silly how like just it all came to be, but you know it's Star Trek.
Yeah, what are you gonna do? It's a TV show. I got over it. I just was thinking about it. All right.
Oh man, I wonder if what's his face is playing Spock?
Oh, Ethan. Forgot his name already.
Burnt. What is his name?
Peck.
Peck.
Ethan Peck.
Yeah, I wonder if Mr. Peck is going to be a good Spock. Oh, it's going to be interesting. But just to extend the length of this a little bit more, I think we're still underneath an hour at this point. No?
No, go as far as you want to go.
With them casting so many of Discovery, of Enterprise's cast of the time... Do you think they might be trying to do like a Pike spinoff, maybe?
No. I really don't. I don't think Pike will ever get a shake of his own. I think this is the most we'll see of Pike. I think Spock will be probably in command of the Enterprise. And I think, you know, we'll obviously grapple a little bit between Michael Berman's character and Spock. But I don't think they'll have... I don't even think there'll be a heavy Spock. I think it'll just Spock will come in here and there, you know?
Yeah, but with them doing so many casting on such big characters, it just seems like a waste if they were just for this season and then they didn't do anything else with it, you know?
I have to...
They got Rebecca Romijn as number one, Anson Mount as Pike. I mean, sure, they cast a no-name as Spock, but, I mean, you still got two bigger stars.
So when I first saw the Enterprise, I was very excited when it came out. Now, a little retrospect, I'm a little bit like, meh. You know, it's like you have the whole fleet and you're going to go to the Enterprise just because you want to rope in more fans. It's a bit of
it's what they're doing pretty much. It's like, oh, we need to get more fans on the show. We need to get more money on All Access.
Yeah. I mean, and obviously they're going to do it anyways. I mean, if they're going to have, you know, Picard and new show and whatever else they come off with the Star Trek franchise, they're going to really milk that cow dry.
Yeah, but I mean, like they're just doing so much casting. I'm kind of wondering if they will do a Pike show. I mean, like, because I mean that's how they did. You know, that's how they did like the on the Flash with Arrow. They brought in Barry Allen. And then they, you know, his episode did good enough, and they split off The Flash into its own separate show.
If Pike is just absolutely amazing and people just can't believe how good it is, then maybe. But you have to remember how Pike ends up in the freaking wheelchair.
Yep.
So, I mean, he doesn't end up in a very promising place. So it's like watching the prequels of Star Wars and knowing that Anakin's going to turn into a huge dick.
Yeah.
And it's like, why am I invested in this character? Because I have no hope this character will ever be any good. I mean, yeah, I love Darth Vader as a bad guy, but I don't really...
I did watch something with Trek Yards, and I thought it was interesting. They're saying maybe what if Pike is a Section 31 operative, and the reason he gets burned wasn't for saving a bunch of children. Maybe it was like, you know, some kind of like covert op that went wrong, and that was the cover.
Save the children!
Save the children from the burn! Save Robert! Apparently, children burn a lot in the future.
All the time.
Good grief.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I don't know. That just seems kind of interesting. I was like, because it just seems like they're... Because the way the preview went, they got, like, you know, Pike beaming over and just taking command of Discovery. So, I mean, you don't even need... It's almost like you don't even need the Enterprise. You just got Pike, and he's just looking for Spock.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, we've got the Enterprise, and they're casting all these other characters. It's like, it just seems... Like, I don't know.
Honestly, it's just too early to speculate. I don't think the Pike thing... I think it's going to be interesting. I don't understand. I'm curious to see who the captain is, or maybe they'll make
Saru captain, or they'll make Berman captain at some point. I don't know.
Or maybe they'll make number one. Maybe they'll make Rebecca Maid captain. Maybe she'll transfer over.
Maybe. I just don't really... I just feel kind of like cheap. I feel it's cheap in the end. Now looking at it now. Not that I'm not excited to see it, but I feel it's like a cheap, like... get more fans interested.
Kind of like them bringing Worf on the Deep Space Nine?
Yeah, kind of like that. Or like I have my biggest complaint of Battlestar Galacta. Let's make the Cylons hot chicks and make all the male characters female characters and make them hot chicks just to get more viewers. And I was like, that's just stupid. You're just playing to the lowest common denominator. Instead of writing a good show, which I'm not saying Battlestar Galactica was bad. I'm just saying that...
It was a great show. It was done by Ronald D. Moore. I mean,
but no, you're missing my point.
Yeah.
They're just doing things just to get
changing
people...
to get people to watch it.
Instead of just writing a really good show. And maybe this is a good show. I don't know. Maybe it'll be great and I got nothing to worry about. I think
the reason they changed some of the male characters to female characters in Battlestar Galactica was just because there was no female characters to have in the
Write
show.
Some new ones in. It doesn't even matter. You're missing my point. Because you didn't grow up with Battlestar Galactica.
I did not.
So,
no, I mean, I get your point, but I mean, it's just, I mean, I just feel like they're maybe trying to diversify it up because that's the thing nowadays.
I don't care about diversity. I mean, it's fine. I love diversity. That's not the point.
Yeah.
They did diversity to get more male viewers.
Yes.
They got good looking women as Cylons. Cylons were basically stormtroopers with like a wandering eye. You know, and we loved them as kids, and all of a sudden they're like, no, now they're, you know, women. So whatever, it doesn't matter. And the same thing, I feel the same thing with Pike. I feel it's like, oh, let's get people who are longtime fans to get interested again. I'm like, you should have done that in the first place, and you should have really thought out things, because now I see that you've built a decent, I mean, Discovery is a decent property and it could really grow. I just feel like you said, just throwing Worf in to get more, get viewers.
Get more ratings, yeah. I mean, but the thing is, it worked. Like, Deep Space Nine got so much better after they threw Worf in.
I agree. And Deep Space Nine was really struggling. And it was a difficult show to sell after Next Gen, you know. Next Gen was so amazing. And Deep Space Nine... got amazing, but it took it a long time to find its legs. I mean,
it did.
But whatever. I Discovery's a great. The first season is pretty watchable, and I like a lot of it. There's nothing I can say it's terrible. Just it's a clunky.
It's definitely clunky, and I do agree with you. It does sort of feel cheap. I think they're just trying to bring in new fans, and they should have thought about that.
Let's put Spock in.
They should have thought about that to begin with, but. Then again, they had all that turmoil, so they didn't even know what they were doing because different people ended up working on it. So it's just, it is kind of like picking to the lowest common denominator, but I mean, they probably, as much backlash as it got the first season, they're probably trying to do everything they can to appease the backlash.
All the backlash is going to go away when the Picard project comes out, the Patrick Stewart project. I mean... That's all that whining about the $5.99 a month is going to go away,
unless it's as bad as The Last Jedi.
Yeah, well, maybe, but people are still going to tune in.
Yeah,
it's Patrick Stewart, it's Picard. This is as beloved as any character gets. I mean, people go batshit crazy over Picard, so there's no way that. All those holdout fans were like, no way am I ever going to subscribe to CBS All Access. There's a lot of people changing their tune right now, and they will. And maybe they'll do what some people do is wait till it's all out, and they'll do a free month or whatever it is, and they'll binge the whole shows. Fine.
But they're also talking about like you doing a Star Trek show all year round, having like six different shows on, like,
and that's awesome.
That's exciting, and then for the podcast, that's really exciting too, because then
we're gonna have a lot to talk about.
We're gonna have a lot to talk about, and it'll be more new episodes than old episodes. To me, that's super exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. I am. There's a lot of things I am excited about what's to come for Star Trek. I think Discovery. I think a lot of the writers weren't really Star Trek fans. I think there were maybe a few, but I think a lot of them felt like they were just like showing up for the paycheck.
Yeah.
And I get it. You got to eat, but shouldn't they have cast or not cast, but got writers and producers that just adored Star Trek and they wanted to see Star Trek come back the way it should?
I mean, you'd think. I mean, that's what I would have wanted for Star Trek.
And it delivered a lot. It just didn't deliver everything that should have, in my opinion. I think there's a lot of gaps, a lot of schisms because of, you know, like the different, like the Klingon War and all sorts of stuff like that. We're like, hey, what's that about? What's that about? So, I mean, there's a lot of things. I still have problems with the Klingon War being the Klingons basically kicking the Federation's ass. And
then just giving up.
Not just giving up, but, well, that, I mean, that's weird too, but kicking the Federation's ass and probably countless deaths, and yet we've never heard a mention of this.
No. Yeah.
We never hear anything from, like, the, you know, Pike or Kirk or Spock or any of that stuff that was going on. And maybe they were in just deep space and they just never got a chance, but I'm assuming they're calling all their ships back for the fight.
Yeah, you'd think. And then the thing is, like, in the cage, which is 3 years before Discovery, Pike's a bitter, bitter man, ready to give up command. Mm-hmm. And they just went through the awful Klingon War for the past year.
Maybe he just wanted war.
And now he's all happy and chipper again.
Yeah.
It's so funny. I really want to know what's going on with Pike.
Yeah.
Why he's maybe so happy and chipper.
Now, maybe it might be fun if they make Pike sort of a cracked-up captain.
Mm.
You know, maybe he's not all there. Maybe he's not the Kirk-esque character that we're thinking he's going to be.
Like multiple personalities.
Not multiple personality, but maybe he's definitely got some mental issues that he's not taking care of himself, which is hard to believe. You know, that nobody would call him on it, but
yeah.
But again, you had Lorca, so
yeah.
But then, are we going to get the same story as Lorca? Oh, the captain who pretends to be sane and normal is actually the bad guy.
Oh, good God!
Let's hope not.
I hope not too.
I just hope it's like he just grates against them because he's the Zap Brannigan.
Yes, I love.
And they're like, oh God.
Yes.
You know.
I hope that Saurian's Kif.
Yeah, no. I hope it's Kip and Zap Brannigan.
That would be great.
That would be great.
That would be great.
That would be worth it for me. So,
man.
You know, maybe that's what happens there.
So. That would be so great. So number one, Ghost of Discovery, and then he gets the Saurian as his first officer,
mm-hmm.
and the first officer Saurian is his Kip, and then we can have a Star Trek Pike show,
which would
be fantastic. I need this. I need this now. Before I was like, that might be fun because they're casting all the people. I'm like, oh, I want Zap Brannigan in life.
Maybe. I guess we're going to have to find out, of course.
I need him to hit on a one-eyed woman.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. Please make this happen, CBS.
Kip, hold my drink.
Sneeze on this for me.
Yeah, so it's obviously way too early to tell. We're not going to know for quite a bit, so...
Yeah,
it's exciting and it looks great. And I there's no way I'm not going to be watching these episodes. It's just that I'm hoping that this season runs more fluidly and the story isn't fragmented as much.
Yeah, I'm hoping so too. And the thing we do have to look forward to this year is that I think that the short tracks are coming out one a month for the last 4 months of the year.
Okay,
so we will have some new content to talk about this year before. Discovery cool. Season 2 starts, so that's exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. That's very nice.
All right. Well, that was more Discovery talk and and Heroes and Demons, the Voyager episode. There wasn't much to say about it.
Do you disagree with us? Do you know who Albert Schweitzer is?
Yes. You can always email us that information at setthehollocks@yahoo.com. Our only music is provided by Warp 11, except for the intro. That is by Dave Wilkes, a friend of the show.
Friend of the show. Really big show.
Really big show. Big hands and everything. you can, in addition to emailing us, you can join us on the Facebook group. The Facebook group is facebook.com/groups/setthehollocks. Join the conversation, the fun there. We also have a page for Setthaholics too, if you want to go ahead and give that a like, that's always awesome. Check out our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Setthaholics. Not as active on there, but I put up stuff as I can. Mm-hmm. And on Twitter, I'm at David_J_Duncan, Aaron's at Blackbird2004, Holly's at Lunar Thistle, and the show's at Synthaholic Duo.
And go to Apple iTunes, rate and review us there, give us 5 stars, all the stars you could possibly muster.
All the Schweitzes.
All the Schweitzes you can do. And you can just write Albert Schweitzer as a comment. Doesn't matter.
It works.
It works, as long as you don't swear. So if you could do that, it would be extremely helpful to the show. Also, if you could go to the Patreon, patreon.com/Synthaholics, throw us a buck a month's not much to ask to keep us recording, and so we can continue bringing out this great content. As well, if one, the last way, the free way, and maybe least intrusive in anybody's life, is to let people know by word of mouth. Just tell them. Just scream. Climb to your roof. Get on your balcony.
At the next baseball game you go to, tell people about
Synthaholics. Tattoo Synthaholics on your chest.
Yes.
And then show off your chest to everybody.
And our faces.
And our faces. Yes, do all those things. Or just write Synthaholics on a white t-shirt with a black marker and just walk around.
Exactly.
And they'll don't know what you're doing, but you will look original.
Yes.
So word of mouth is a wonderful way to help the show out.
All right. Well, thank you all so much for listening. Live long and prosper, one and all.
Well, McCoy, my boy, come mix me a drink. Before the night's over, I'll puke in the sink and we'll cry till we laugh. And we'll both shit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had.
We did it.
Hooray.
Hello. Can we get sound that doesn't sound like chipmunks? Can we please?
I have a confession to make.
What is that confession, my son?
I really do judge people harshly when I hear they say the word library instead of library. It's a stupid thing, but you automatically lose probably 20 IQ points in my mind when you say library.
Library.
Yeah. And same thing when people say nuclear instead of nuclear.
Nuclear?
Yeah. When they say nuclear.
Nuclear? Yeah. Instead of nuclear?
Yeah.
Welcome to Synthaholics. This is your host, David Duncan, and with me is...
Aaron O'Brien!
Oops.
Oops.
Just want to make sure that's plugged
in. Hey, you know, we didn't even talk about... There's a shit ton of news we got to talk about.
Oh, we didn't even discuss that before the show. We were talking about salad.
Yeah, that didn't come out too well.
Tossing salad. No.
Oh, of course. It wouldn't be Synthaholics without that joke. So we got... there was some news for Star Trek. There was... sorry, I have to do a search because I don't remember everything anymore. You're going to have to edit this out. Oh, they had the announcement of who's going to play... I'm sorry.
Yeah!
Oh, there's two things. Okay, I remember. Okay. Can we just start over?
That might just be an outtake.
I guess. What the fuck are we talking about? Is this Star Trek or Salad Trek?
Salad Trek. Welcome to Synthaholics. This is your host.
Oh, God. We've gone so far off the rails.
And we haven't even started yet.
We have shot it.
Schweitzer, where art thou?
Schweitzer!